technology and the sea. Fascination Marine Technology. A podcast by Bärbel Fehning in cooperation with the German Association for Marine Technology, GMT. Welcome to this podcast episode about the future of maritime mobility. How digitalization will change our ports, the opportunities offered by a Parking 8 for XXL ships, and where an autonomous stretcher can be used. About all these topics, I speak to Axel Hahn and Sebastian Feuerstack from the DLR Institute Systems Engineering for Future Mobility in Oldenburg. A warm welcome to Axel Hahn, Director of the DLR Institute Systems Engineering for Future Mobility and Professor of Systems Engineering at the University of Oldenburg, and to Sebastian Feuerstack, Head of the Maritime Systems Group at the DLR Institute Systems Engineering for Future Mobility.
Yeah, moin Bärbel, as we say in Germany.
Yes, moin. This is a very common German welcome. So, you are researchers, engineers, and you are taking us into the future today because shipping is also undergoing a lot of change at the moment. You have several amazing projects we want to talk about. Let's start with the first. You are developing a digital parking aid for XXL ships, the Smart Kai. Axel, what is that about?
Yeah, this is very fascinating. If you have ever been on a harbor very close to where the big ships are mooring and berthing, it's very impressive if you see this tons of steel coming close to you. And of course, this is really a challenge for the navigators, especially if the weather conditions are bad or the current is very strong. So there's definitely a help needed to support this and to avoid accidents, because accidents are very costly and it's very tricky, let me say, to bring this big masses to a stop on a dedicated point. And we help here. We help here in a way that we use sensor technologies on the harbor side to identify the position and the speed and the acceleration of the vessel. And we're using communication technologies to bring this information on board of a bridge, onto the bridge. And there the nautical personnel can see, the navigators can see the position, the speed, and the heading of the vessel and the quay infrastructure, and then bring this to stop on point, fast and safe. That is the goal here, to use this technology.
Do centimeters matter at the berth?
In the end, it's the centimeter that makes the difference, yeah? Because if you scratch something, of course, it's also a question of the impact and the impulse you have. But in the end, a centimeter's method. And actually, if you have been on such a quay, it's very interesting to see. They have marks painted on the quay. They use directly under the bridge not to look down and to bring this to the last centimeters. We are especially speaking about the port of Cuxhaven here. That is our test port. We have a project together with NPorts, the infrastructure provider for the harbor in Cuxhaven. And here we have RoRo ferries, so roll-on, roll-off ferries that go to the pier in a way that we have this bridge to enter the ship and to bring out the trucks and in the trucks. And it's very important to bring them there fast, because time is money, and safe, because all accidents are extremely expensive and cost also a lot of time and hassle. And to speed up the process, to make this process safer. That is the idea here we have here. And it's very impressive if you see this vessels coming up to you and stopping on point.
And how does SmartKai work? Is there anything that has to be installed on the vessel?
So the base idea is that we have most of the installations, all the sensors, harbor side. That saves money, because that makes it useful and usable for each vessel. And this generates a general operational picture. And this operational picture is then transferred by internet to the bridge. And on the bridge, we more or less only need a device to present this operational picture. It could be just a tablet or a normal PC with internet connectivity. We can even have an installment of an own Wi-Fi network or mobile communication network. But mostly we can use just the existing communication infrastructure. And then we have all this information on the bridge. And we definitely, in the moment, don't need much more than a device to present the information we provide via internet.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's making the difference, because exactly this means that we have this available for every ship that is entering this harbor. And it's so successful that we even have identified other situations in this harbor that this technology is very helpful. For instance, entering the harbor between the moleheads, because the current in Cuxhaven, if you're not aware of the situation, is this harbor that is directly in front of the Elbe River. And it has a lot of current outside of the harbor and inside of the harbor. So the navigation in this vicinity of this harbor is tricky, to be said. And it means very good seamanship to enter this harbor. You have to speed up and go in the harbor, and the current is pressing you to the side. And it's very helpful for the captain or the navigator to identify the exact position and getting it the trajectory right to enter the harbor. Or in the harbor, we have locks to stop down in time and find the right angle to heading into these locks, and a lot of damage in harbors caused to if the situations get tricky, and we can really help to reduce the damage here.
Is it comparable with a parking aid for cars? And the only difference is that the technique is land-based?
Yes. In the end, the visualization on board of a ship is very similar to what you see in your car. But as I said, the big difference is that the sensors are in the infrastructure on land. And we use this information by communication technologies to get this information needed to moor the ship in a good way and have this berthing efficient and safe. Yeah.
Sebastian, how big is the invest for the ship owner?
The invest for the ship owner is not that huge, because what the ship owner actually needs is just a tablet. So the entire system comes on board with a tablet. It's like a website that you can easily access. And that's one of the basic ideas, and also the difference to other systems that depend on visualizations on shore, like signs that show distances that are not so accessible for everyone that's involved in a mooring maneuver.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, mooring or berthing is challenging when the weather is bad, when the winds are strong, when it's foggy or rainy or stormy. And SmartKai, as you name your project, is helping in all these challenging weather conditions.
Exactly. So that's a big benefit. Yeah. So the system basically gives visibility when there's actually no visibility for the navigators on board. Yeah. So it does so by using LiDAR scanners, so laser scanners, and radars that are installed on shore, together with sensors to measure the environment, like if it's rainy, foggy, and the currents that are relevant for the decision of the pilots and the navigators on board. Currently, we looked at a lot of insurance reports, and we see that for these big seagoing vessels, currently 1 out of 10 vessels reports a damage to the insurance companies every year. And it's even more problematic for these autocarrier vessels. There, 1 out of 4 vessels report damage to port infrastructure every year. So I think it's a huge topic for shipping companies.
Yes, this would be very beneficial for the companies, yes. And this is only one of your impressive projects, and you have quite a lot. Let's talk about the next one. Just as exciting, you are developing a autonomous dredger for the port of Emden, which basically works like a robotic lawnmower, Sebastian, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is exactly the core idea of the project. Yeah, these ports like Emden suffer a lot of the sedimentation that comes through the locks from the ocean. Yeah, and
they because of the tidal change.
Exactly. Yeah, and they need to ensure that ships still can reach their ports, and they do so by dredging. Yeah, to ensure depths that's working. And what Emden actually does is they try to prevent that they need to bring out the sediment out of the port. So the actual idea is use a system that adds oxygen to the sediment to make it fluid. We call this fluid mud, and this fluid mud is shippable. So you can access the port through the mud. And it's a nice thing.
So the mud remains in the water and it's not transported away. I mean, it's just kept
fluid. And the nice thing is that this kind of system is beneficial from the perspective of the environment, because this process benefits of bacteria that are able to produce slime when they get fed by oxygen. Yeah, and this slimy fluid mud is beneficial for the ships when they enter. They can directly flow in, yeah, and it's much easier than it was expected by just going through the mud. Yeah.
And is this just an application that is needed in the port of Emden or at various hubs at the North Sea that have to do with the tides? Or are other applications also conceivable?
I think it's very beneficial for all these ports that are impacted by tidal situations. Yeah. And the interesting thing here is that the dredging, to be efficient, needs to be done a day and night long. Yeah. And what we are doing as researchers here for automation is to figure out how we can ensure a continuous dredging in an area where we miss skilled workers.
The big thing here is, of course, it's not only good for the environment, but it also saves money. And of course, this technology has to be safe. And that is the challenge we are facing from our institute perspective. So to ensure the safety of this application. And here we are following very similar idea as we just talked about with SmartKai, is we use the infrastructure and send some infrastructure to get an operational picture of the situation in the harbor. And then this is helping the automation on board of a vessel or remote controlled to operate the stretcher 24/7. So this is not only good for the environment, it also here saves money and time to bring this forward. And here technology is really helping the environment to have a sustainable way to maintain your harbor depth.
So it works like a robotic lawnmower in a certain pattern through the entire harbor.
Yeah, you need a dedicated plan. It's also authorized by authorities. So this plan then is followed. As you see, some of the robots for lawn mowing taking a dedicated pattern. Some are having another approach, lawnmowers, and go chaotic over the lawn. But anyway, here we having a dedicated pattern we are following. And the situation is kept under control by technology. And if there is something happening, we can stop it, or we can have an emergency situation in a way that we can bring in personnel and to solve this situation and to ensure safety here. But the idea here is we name it automation islands. So the best thing and the easiest thing to use autonomous system is that we keep the context, so the environment, under control. So to develop a dedicated automation or autonomous technology only for a specific case is much, much, much more easier than a general case. So on cars, it's easier to drive on a motorway than through city or landside. So here as well, we name it the operational domain. So the dedicated area we are working in, and we use the idea of an automation island, managed automated driving. It's the term on the street that helps us to assess the situation and to make the needed technology as easy as possible and simple as possible, because only a very simple technology is cheap and controllable, and we can guarantee the safety of the system.
And are there other areas where these autonomous ships could be used?
I think it's the best thing to bring autonomous systems into life is to use them in a dedicated, defined environment. And other ideas could be river ferries, for instance. That's very helpful for the automation of such systems that we use technology on land, up and down the river, to get an operational picture, to present this information to the system, to make an assessment of the situation, and in the end to decide if the crossing is safe or not. And this is another example that this technology is very applicable and brings forward autonomous shipping.
What about the islands in the Wadden Sea?
Oh, yeah. Of course, here, a general operational picture from land side is less helpful. But of course, dedicated applications are much more easier to develop. So I see it's much, much, much more likely that we have something like a transportation vessel for the supply, for instance, of our lovely, by the way, visit them. They are very lovely and they are really a tourist attraction. But of course, the tourists need food, have produced waste, and to get it on the island and back to the island is a task to be done. And this could be even a good application for autonomous vessels because it's very defined environment in a way that we know where the vessel is, we know what could happen, and even it's quite easy to stop the vessel. And thinking about new ship concepts, because new ships concept could also mean new energy provision systems. We can run them, for instance, battery electric or using hydrogen propulsion systems, and the vessel types can get smaller because we can perhaps go more often. And if there's something, a situation that is not controllable, the vessel can just stop, and then everything can take into control. So I think one vision could be also, let me say, the supply vessel for our Wadden Islands. It would be even more tricky, for instance, if you're having like a toolbox to provide wind farms and others, but because then you have to cross shipping lines and other things, so it's a good idea to use that for Wadden Islands.
But the challenges are always unpredictable incidences.
Yes. And therefore, it's much more easier to develop autonomous technology for a dedicated domain. So when we can make a better estimation and assessment of all the situations that could happen. And this is the key for all automation on the street, on the train, or on the water, that we have the context of the vessels, of the environment, in a way that is more or less controlled. Or we can, if it is not controlled, we can detect that something happened that we not expect. So, of course, everything could happen, yeah? But the idea is if you know what is the defined environment, you can make a proper assessment if something happens and then identify if is help needed. And that is the idea here.
Let's talk about your third project. Systems engineering is your core expertise, and you have a huge maritime testbed where you can work on all your projects. Sebastian, tell us more about EMIR, how it is called. Who can use it?
Yeah, EMIR is like an offer, yeah, for companies to join us doing research and improving technology and testing and validation and verification of technology that say the industry thinks about implementing. So what we do is we offer a test bed along the German North Sea. It spans over several ports like Cuxhaven, Emden, and Wilhelmshaven, but also along the Elbe River, yeah, which is one of the most shipped waterways in Germany. There we offer a lot of sensors along the shore that we can use to monitor the traffic. So we have a lot of data available, yeah, that we use to observe the traffic and also to train and learn about the traffic so that systems can be improved. So we use this for collision avoidance systems and also to manage traffic.
And isn't even the island of Helgoland part of the test field?
We have no special installations on Helgoland, but our systems run until the area of Helgoland, and we do also tests of autonomous systems west of Helgoland, but we have no specific installations on Helgoland, but from the coast. So our test field with infrastructure is going from the locks to the Kiel Canal in Brunsbüttel to Cuxhaven, then via Helgoland down to our test harbors in Wilhelmshaven and Emden. But our main instrumentation is the outer Elbe area, So the Elbe approach, and especially the area between Cuxhaven and Wilhelmshaven, that is the idea here. And as Sebastian said, data is the new currency. So it is the most important thing for all technical developments to know what happens out on the water. And everybody is really needing this data to design the systems and to test the systems. And that is the first application. The second one is to provide an infrastructure to test the systems. And the third application is to demonstrate systems to customers or to make an assessment of the functionality.
We should add what EMIR stands for, and you should tell us who can use it.
Yeah, so EMIR stands for the E-Maritime Integrated Reference Platform, and it has two parts to be used. One is our virtual environment. We name it Haggis, just for fun. And here we have the whole area as a digital twin and combined with simulators. So we can take all situations assessed and make new situations to test the systems in the lab. It's much easier and much cheaper and much less dangerous. And then dedicated scenarios could be tested on the water in situ. And here we have the infrastructure, we have the communication, we have land side and ship side infrastructure, and even two smaller research boats. We can test the situation on water, and companies and other researchers can just come in and use these technologies to design their system, to assess their system, in the end, to certify their systems. And our main research contribution is here, beside providing the infrastructure, to help companies in the methods needed to make a proper assessment, we name it verification and validation, of their systems under test to bring it to market.
Wow. You are developing all these projects and many, many more in your DLR Institute Systems Engineering for Future Mobility. DLR, the German Aerospace Center, is the largest engineering research institution in Germany. How many researchers work at your institute?
Yeah, we have overall around 100 researchers, and we're developing methods for verification and validation and safety on the road, on tracks, on for railway and aviation, and especially from the maritime domain. And Sebastian could give us an overview of what we are doing in the maritime domain.
So currently our research is organized in two teams and two different topics. So one very prominent topic where we do a lot of application-oriented research projects together with the industry is about automated shipping and ports, because there we have lots of questions where we can or to give the industry support. Yeah, if processes can be more efficiently realized, and where are the benefits of automation and autonomous maritime systems? That's the one big topic that we are doing our research about. And the other big topic is about traffic management, because we see that there we can gain a lot of efficiency, not only from an economic perspective, but also from an ecologic perspective. If the traffic is coordinated in a better way, yeah, with more generalized or general perspective, yeah, about the entire German traffic, then we can benefit a lot.
Yes, and your institute is located in Oldenburg in the western part of Germany, very close to the North Sea. And Axel, you have always had a longing for the sea, haven't you?
Actually, coming from Wuppertal, a little bit far away from, yeah, a really bit far away from the sea. I started sailing as a schoolboy, and it's really fascinating to see the wide and the power of the sea. And that is driving me, of course. I'm a sailor on high seas as well, and really love to go out far in the north by my boat. Here, the idea is that is motivating me, because we will use this environment for the sake of humanity, and we need it for our economic perspective at transportation, energy, and all those things, fishing, and to make that in a sustainable way. And technologies can help here. And that is my thing that motivates me, is to provide the technology to support the coexistence of this fantastic environment and very, very important source for life on our planet, together with the needed usage of this thing. And here technologies can help to find the best way that we can make the usage of the seas sustainable and safe. That is really motivating me each morning to stand up and go to work to contribute to this challenge. And I'm very, very pleased that we have such a strong team here to do that. And when I visit all these fantastic things, I'm always very impressed by what we can achieve here.
Sebastian, you grew up in Hamburg, very close to the port of Hamburg, and you've always seen these huge ships. Was this a motivation for you to focus on these topics?
Actually, I was raised in Hamburg, and I realized quickly that ports are kind of very important for our economic infrastructure in Germany. But it took me a while to realize this, actually. I studied first computer science at the Technical University in Berlin, and there I focused a lot on the application of artificial intelligence. And I got quickly aware that not the technology is a problem, but the user acceptance. And so the real challenge lies in how we actually design and test automated systems so that they can be used safely and reliable in operation. And along my research career, I always try to identify such systems. So I worked with cars, with airplanes, and later on I realized, oh, there's a huge gap in automated shipping. We still have a lot to do to make the systems trustworthy so that they can ship safe and robust along our seas.
Thank you for sharing all this with us, and thank you for your time. Thanks, Axel. Thanks, Sebastian.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good time.
Yes, thank you very much.
This was today's podcast episode. I talked to Axel Hahn and Sebastian Feuerstack from the DLR Institute Systems Engineering for Future Mobility in Oldenburg. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I highly recommend subscribing to this podcast so you won't miss any new episode. Bye.